In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Growing up as a child of converts, it was very often, especially during the holidays, that as my family would gather together, oftentimes conversations would lean toward the religious, very irregularly the political, more often the religious. And as a young man, not nearly as filled with much wisdom and knowledge of our faith, certainly not the courage to stand up to my elders, I was subjected to a barrage of Protestant theology, oftentimes directed at me precisely because we were the only Catholics in our home. And oftentimes, especially my mother's youngest sister, who even now to this day is given to all sorts of prognostications as to what the future actually will be, divining and reading the signs, the times. She has told us so often that the end is near that I simply have given up actually believing her. The end may be here, it may not be here. According to her, it comes at any given moment, unbidden, unprepared for. There's this sign or that sign, this reality or that reality that tells me just right around the corner, everything is going to collapse. She often complains about all of the sacraments in the church, but she too has gone to the altar so many times, my head has spun again and again, to profess her sins, to beg God forgiveness, to start anew, because again, this is it. It's coming out. It's running out. Time is running out. So much anxiety, so much angst, so much turmoil. I wonder how she lives in the midst of all that, because as you might be able to imagine, because of this great chasm of faith that exists between us, oftentimes we do not converse. We're not able to talk, if you will, civilly one to another. She has spent her whole life, even now, almost in my 60s, trying to convert me away from this reality that is Catholicism. I pray for her on a daily basis, as I do for all of you. But I wonder about all of that anxiety, all of that turmoil, as she's trying to make sense of the signs of the times. One could certainly argue, given what is proclaimed in our gospel from St. Matthew today, as we conclude this year of grace and favor, that what sacred scripture tells us and what we actually see, especially what is happening in Holy Mother Church, would give us the indication that indeed this is the end. False prophets have arisen. They have wormed their way into the very foundation of the life of the church. Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right and has been celebrated. And this has happened even among the elect, those at the top, and certainly all of us who may find ourselves at the bottom and everything in between. In addition to these theological ruminations, these theological heresies, which seemingly now have run wild, the numbers of baptisms, the numbers of marriages have decreased. Vocations are again waning and not waxing. People are moving away, falling away from the church, so on and so forth. One would simply say, yes, now is the time. Now I should get myself together, prepared, ready for whatever it is that is going to come. But my question to you, and the Lord's subtle exhortation to us, is why have you waited so long to do that? Why have you assumed that tomorrow will be the day that life, that God will ask an accounting of you, when that could have come a year ago? It might not come for another 5 years. I don't know when or what it actually will look like. Only that there must always be a vigilance, always be prepared to give an accounting of myself. And the easiest way for us to be prepared, brothers and sisters, is not so much to worry about the future. And even when the signs might indicate that the future and the coming of the Lord yet again and the ending of all things is just right around the corner, is to live either as each day is like that, or to simply live each day unto God. Live in the peace that comes from knowing that if I am in right relationship with the Lord, whenever he comes again, however the tribulation may manifest itself, I will always be well prepared, well armed, and safeguarded, because I have chosen the better portion. I have chosen constant, fervent relationship with God. This is not an easy task to accomplish. which is why Holy Mother Church gives us the gift of the sacraments, especially the Most Holy Eucharist, to nourish us in spirit, to strengthen our resolve, to make up for all those things that are lacking in us. And there are many things that are lacking in us, so that instead of being caught up in the turmoil and the chaos of the world, we can find our peace in God and Him alone. To be clear, the absence of difficulty, embracing the peace of God, does not mean that everything in my life will be perfect. Quite the opposite will be true. Oftentimes, as Satan sees us growing in holiness and seeking virtue, he will double and triple his efforts to pull us away from the path of righteousness and holiness. And so we should not anticipate, as we strive for this peace in Christ, this peace that comes only from Christ, that somehow the manifestation of that will be no difficulty in my life. What changes for us, brothers and sisters, is not the absence of conflict, but the ability and the strength to live well in the midst of conflict and difficulty. The cross does not disappear, but rather I embrace my crosses with joy. My life doesn't become easy, but it does become simple. It lacks the chaos and the unrootedness that is created by looking at the world and trying to divine the signs of the times and to grapple with the turmoil and the difficulty that surrounds us. The Irish have a saying where they encourage us simply not to borrow trouble. Translation for us of the oratory always has been, stay in your own lane. You have enough to do for yourself. You have enough to do to keep yourself occupied spiritually. Let that be sufficient. Don't try to change the whole world, change governments, change nations when you have a difficult time changing yourself. And as we come to this end of this year of grace and favor, it is an appropriate time to ask ourselves, what have I done with the graces that God has bestowed upon me? How have I used them well? Or maybe, in what ways have I squandered them? And of course, reflections of these kind require us to be in prayer in order that God can truly reveal them unto us. And in that same prayer, then, what will I do with this new year of grace and favor? How will I take advantage yet again and live rightly in the sight of God with the graces He bestows upon me? These are not rhetorical questions. But if we are to listen to Paul's exhortation to the Colossians, that he enjoins them, prays for them, that they may be worthy to walk in the light of God, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. If indeed we're going to put into practice the exhortation to virtue, being children of light and not children of darkness, this only comes by being resolute, being committed and diligent in prayer, being fervent in using the graces that God bestows upon us. My brothers and sisters, we know what it is that we ought to do. And we know exactly how we need to go about doing it. It is not difficult, actually, in the knowledge thereof or the path that should be followed. It becomes difficult and complicated when we try to compromise, when we try to craft something that allows me to have what I want, when I want, how I want it. When we become willful and self-directed instead of giving ourselves completely over to God. I never stand before you as I preach as a perfect practitioner. I am a failure and a sinner. And yet I own that. Because in those moments of complete failure, what separates us from the rest of the world is we do not stay there, steeped in our sin, in the darkness. We look up to God who gives grace, who shines light upon us, and allows us by that grace to go to Him to be reconciled and to begin yet again. These are not fanciful thoughts. They're not wishes or hopes or dreams. It is the very foundation of our Catholic life, the Catholic life all of us are called to live. And so an ending and a beginning. The darkness in which we are now both physically and spiritually moving to the light that is Christ himself. We have spent 1 year contemplating the mysteries of God, and we will do it yet again. Precisely because these mysteries can never be fully emptied of their content, never be exhausted of their power, never cease to amaze and strengthen us. Let us pay heed to what Scripture says. Let us understand the dignity that has been bestowed upon us by baptism, that is nourished in this sacrifice, especially for those who present themselves at the rail for Holy Communion, that you belong to God first, last, and always. And you must find your strength and your peace in Him and in Him alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.